You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
We've worked with California Cryobank to try and figure out like how we get them over the hump with like finding Black donors, with understanding how it impacts our families. And so we're grateful for them as partners, because now I can even say like there are more than three now.
Yeah.
If we were to go to search, there are more than three.
They're trying.
We're grateful for that.
They are.
And, yeah. They're definitely trying.
There is a push in the right direction. Well, hello, hello. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie, and I'm your host, and you are tuning in to season 14, y'all. The first episode of season 14, OMG. If you had told me 6 years ago that this little podcast that could would still be going strong today, I would have laughed in your face. I really would have. But here we are, 14 seasons in and still going strong. And as many of you know, it's been a rocky road. There have been many moments when I was ready to throw in this towel, some host breakups, lack of sponsors that were aligned with us, trolls hating us on the social. But then you all come through and you reach out and you all continue to listen and you continuously remind me why I do this, and it's for you, and it's for this beautiful community. And I just can't believe we're still going strong, and I'm so proud. I am so proud. And what I'm also proud about is we have a sponsor, y'all, for the entire season, California Cryobank. Yes, thank you so much. And I cannot tell you how excited I am that this is a company that I wholeheartedly believe in, and a company that is doing wonderful things for our community, and a company that I think that you all will appreciate. You know, I set out when Robin left over a year ago to only take on sponsorships that I knew were fully aligned with us, and it has been rough, y'all, but it's finally happening. I'm so proud and I'm so happy. And I love all of you. I love all of you. And as you all know, this show's mission is to highlight, uplift, celebrate, and normalize LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And this episode right here is doing just that. Let me tell you who our guest is. I had the privilege of sitting down with Mia Cooley, a proud queer mom, of course, and founder of X-Hood, a community for Black queer family building and nurturing support. Mia is a badass. I love Mia. This conversation is bomb. We talk about blending families, breakups when kids are involved, and all the good things Mia is doing for the community. You're going to love it. But before I roll that tape, of course, I have some things to talk about. I need to thank our newest Patreon member. Thank you, Morgan Schumann. You rock. I love you, Morgan. I couldn't do this without you. And if any of you listening at home or watching on YouTube have a couple of extra cents lying around, you too can become a Patreon member and get some bonus content. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast, pick a tier that works for you, and join. please do so. It means the world to me. Oh my God. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all all. Now I need to give a little listener shout out before I roll the tape. I got the loveliest email the other day in response to the episode with Kara Cochran. I just need you to hear it, and you're gonna see why I wanted to share it. It reads, "My name is Haley, and I live in Australia. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, but this week listening to Kara Cochran's coming out story gave me a little bit of hope again. Her story sounds very similar to mine. I'm 32. I came out as a gay woman to my parents and everyone else at 30 years old, told my sister at 29. I dated my first girlfriend who I was head over heels for, although she was extremely toxic and manipulative, and she used me coming out later in life against me in many toxic ways. I'm so sorry. But listening to Kara's story, knowing other women have gone through something so similar too, gives me hope again. Love your podcast. Thank you so much." Oh, Haley, thank you. Thank you for that lovely email. And, you know, I'm just so glad you reached out and explained how an episode resonated with you. I never know how these stories are going to resonate. So I love hearing from you all. And Haley, your toaster should be arriving soon. Welcome to the club. Gay's the way to be. And if any of these episodes resonate with any of you, I want to hear from you too. You can email me, you can DM me on the socials at the Queer Family Podcast, and you can even send a voicemail or a text, y'all. The number is 646-470-1840, and you might have a chance to be featured on the show. There's so many ways to find me, so many ways. And y'all have really been reaching out. I have a lot of listener feedback to share, but I can only do so much in one little intro. So you're going to have to wait to hear the others, but they're coming. They're coming. I love you all. I love you all so much. Speaking of love, you got to vote. You got to vote for my show at signalaward.com. I should say we are finalists for 3 Signal Awards, y'all. The family and child raising, LGBTQ, and listener's choice categories. This is huge because, first of all, this is the first time we have been recognized in a category other than LGBTQ. And I want to win that shiz. I want to win that shiz so bad. So in order to win the listener's choice, I need y'all to vote for this show in both the LGBTQ and family categories. And that's how we get bumped into the listener's choice. So the more votes we get in those 2 categories, there's more of a chance that I'll take the listener choice. And I want to take all 3, obviously. So you're going to head over to signalaward.com. You're going to search for a Queer Family Podcast, and you're going to vote in those 2 categories. And if you can't find it, because it is a little tricky on the website, you can go to my link in bio in Instagram at the Queer Family Podcast. And I have both categories linked out for you. So I made it super simple and easy. So go do that. Please vote, vote, vote. Vote like your life depends on it. I love you guys. I really do. Oh my God. All right. I have to roll this tape. Helen and Beulah and Nicole are standing at the ready to roll this beautiful tape, to push that button. Nobody pushes a button, and nobody is in this room with me except me and the rain. It is crazy outside. All right. Let's hear Mia's story. You're going to love it. Thank you so much. All right, Helen, Beulah, Nicole, my lovelies, roll that tape. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Mia.
Hi, Jamie.
It is such a pleasure to have you here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. It's like awesome. I'm very excited.
I missed you. It's been way too long.
All right, y'all at home. We reconnected recently at
Night at the Pier.
The Night at the Pier. This wonderful, amazing celebration of all things queer families. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Mia came over to me and was like, "Hey." And I was like, "Wait a second. How do I know you?" Because we had interviewed you a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah. So we need to do like a full recap. But for everybody at home who's listening, they all know that I butcher introductions. So what's going to happen right now is you're going to give us your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're talking to the Queer Fam Squad. And I'm going to put up a timer, but you are not. You don't need to get nervous because I'll never cut you off. And it's all in love. Okay?
Okay.
All right. On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mia Cooley. First and foremost, I'm Nova and Noir's mommy, and I'm also the founder of X-Hood. It's like parenthood, but a little bit more choose your own adventure, because we get to do that as queer people. We provide family building and nurturing support to Black and brown parents and intended parents, and I'm just happy to be here.
Boom. That was under 30 seconds, so you are definitely a pro, Mia Cooley. And you got it all in. You did.
I did get it all in.
And Mia, you are one of the folks who is doing the good work. You are a trailblazer. I'm so happy you're out there doing what you're doing. And your work is extremely important, which I don't have to tell you that. You know this. But
thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my partner in this work.
Yeah. I'm trying. We're trying to change the world one story at a time, right?
Yeah. Storytelling is the best part of it, because we don't get to see our stories too often. So to know that we have a place where we get to tell and be, I'm just so grateful for it. So thank you again.
No, thank you. Thank you. This is a love fest over here.
I know. We're just gushing.
Oh my God, it's amazing. All right. So let's go into it, because you got two children. One of them is newly born, baby nugget. And then your other one is a bit older. So let's get into, how did your family come to be? Take us back. Take us back, Mia. Take us back to the beginning.
Absolutely. So as I said before, I'm Nova and Noir's mommy. Nova is 6 years old, and Noir is about 3.5 months now, closing in on 4 months. So our fourth trimester is closing quickly. I can't believe time is flying. But yeah, having kids 6 years apart, like our experiences with trying to conceive and just pregnancy and everything, building this family is very different. I went from being the birthing parent to the non-birthing parent. So that has been an interesting transition.
Yes.
I tell people it's a perk. Like, I love it.
Your body. People are like, ooh, you don't even look like you just had a baby.
They are. They're like, you had a baby? And I'm like, yes, we did.
That was my favorite thing when my wife gave birth, because we did it the flip way. My wife went first and then I went. But when my wife gave birth, everybody was like, oh my God. I would take it. I'd be like, oh, thank you so much. I know. I'm just lucky. You don't even look like you gave birth. I didn't tell him.
It's
I didn't.
Wonderful. Nova is my little baby from a previous relationship, but me and my fiance, we have been best friends for like all of time. And people always say, like, do you think that, like, you know, you always knew that you guys were going to be together? And I said, absolutely not. Like, I actually never thought that we were going to be together. But the fact that we're here is just like, why didn't we?
There's so much strange. There's a lot to dig into here. Hold up, because the previous relationship, first question I have for you, was this a queer relationship, the previous relationship?
My previous relationship was not a queer relationship. I mean, he knows.
Right.
That I was queer. So there's never been a time where I have not been queer. But it just wasn't that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then when it was like, okay, I'm going to have a baby. And I was like, I don't know that, like, you know, this family structure is a structure that's going to work for me long time. And so we had a lot of like in-depth conversations about that. And now we're here. I'm 6 years later with me, and I've gone through, I mean, many a relationship since then, but I am grateful for the experiences. I'm grateful for how Nova and I have grown just like in our like mommy daughter relationship. And I'm grateful for our new family with my fiance and her little baby sister.
It's beautiful. When I saw you at the gala, your fiance was pregnant. So
yes.
Yeah.
So she was very pregnant then, but she just like wants to be involved in all the things. She is my biggest cheerleader. And I don't think that I've had that in a relationship before. So it has been truly just like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, to be with somebody that's like, no, we're going to go do the thing and I'm going to cheer you on and you're going to be fine and it's going to be great.
That's amazing.
Whereas like my inner voice isn't always so positive.
Not yet. We need that cheerleader, right? Mine isn't either. So you had Nova with the guy and it didn't work out with the guy.
I don't even think that we tried to have it work out. Like, we were friends. And we didn't try to have it work out.
Was it like a friends with benefits situation?
It was a, I'm in New York, I'm young, I'm going through like, well, I was going through a queer breakup at the time. And just like, I'm going to have fun and like forget everybody. And I'm in New York for 2 days before I like fly to this island to have me time. Mm-hmm. And me time has turned into 6 years with Nova. So.
Well, first of all, you're one of the few queer folks who actually got to get a baby the natural way.
I did. And I'll say that, that has had its challenges, but it's also been able to open up, like when we knew that we were going to try to conceive Noir, and even like back when I thought that I would be the one like trying to carry again, like I got to have a conversation with Nova's dad and say, hey, like, do you want to contribute? Do you want to donate? How do you want this to be? Because I'm open to all family dynamics. Ooh. The more love, the better.
Ooh.
And so that was interesting conversation. He didn't say no. It just timing didn't work out.
Oh, wow.
And we were like on a roll.
You're ready so, to go. Because once you want to do it, you're ready to go.
Yeah. And I can completely get, I'm like, he has to have like, you know, figure that out for his relationships and what that feels like.
Right.
And yeah, we're still here. We made it work.
So he's still involved. You know, he's in Nova's life. He's still involved. Sounds like you're co-parenting well with him, which is, I mean, okay, it has its moments.
Keep it cute. I'm going to keep it cute.
Okay.
Because
I'm down with
he
that.
Sees things. So.
Yes. Right. Yes. It's going as well as it can. And
it's going as well as it can.
And you dated a little bit. You played around. You did your thing.
Dated. I've been engaged. I've broken off engagements. And now I'm back. And maybe this time I actually make it to the altar. It's going to be, I feel it. This is the time.
Okay, so when did you meet your fiancé? What's your fiancé's name?
Her name is Donna. Hi, baby.
Donna, I knew that. when did you meet Donna first?
Donna and I actually met when I was in college. And like, baby, don't judge me on the year. You know, it got a little 2014, 2015, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was in college and she was working somewhere, but we were both doing, I got like my first job offer. We were both like traveling and things for work and we just always connected, but we were never like in the same space, but we were just really good friends. Mm-hmm. Like even when Nova was born, I was like, at the time I was single and I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to have this baby. And my due date is like tomorrow. And I have my mom and my mom is great. Moms are awesome, but my mom can be a little like high strung. And so I like really just needed some calming energy because I was already freaking out. And Donna literally drove 10 hours from Atlanta to DC where I was so that I wouldn't have to be alone with the birth. And it was like, now looking back on, I'm like, all the things in the universe come together in very mysterious ways.
But you didn't see it at the time. Like, was there attraction? You didn't see the attraction. I mean, of course there was.
I always thought that she was attractive, but we always like really liked similar things, like similar books, similar movies, just really easy conversation. But like I said, we were both doing our own thing. Like I was dating, she was dating, she got married. Like it was just never like, okay, this is not that sort of thing.
Right.
And then when it was like, she was going through her divorce and I called off my engagement, it was just like, why not? We spent some time together and we were just like, this actually does work. And maybe we just needed the space and the time to align for it to come together. And that was just so easy. And I was just like, I've never had anything so easy. That was 8 years. We met 8 years ago.
Okay. So that was it. And then when did you start actually, you know?
3 years ago. Okay. Nova is six. Yeah. 3 years ago.
And so she's kind of always been in Nova's life then.
Yeah. Nova has always known who she was. Like my first like trip away, like when after I first had Nova, I think Nova may have been 5 or 6 months old. She came and watched Nova for that so that I could go on a trip with someone else just because we were just good friends. And so people like look when we post pictures and things now of her with Nova when she was little, they're like, what?
Right.
And we're like, we swear, like we didn't know that this was going to be. And I think it was also probably really good that we did not try anything before we did.
Right. You needed to get there when you needed to get there. When you finally started being in a real relationship, how did you bring Nova into that?
So with Nova, it was a lot of conversations. Like, she was going through, I mean, we were both going through our own process of mourning the family that we had with my ex-fiance. Mm. And so just having a lot of conversations that, you know, we are still their family, even though they have like moved away, even though we have separated, like that's still your big sister and your big sibling, and that's okay.
Oh, so there were other kids.
Yeah, so we had two older kids that I don't get to see as often, but we still talk all the time just because they have moved away. But Nova still talks to them all the time too. So she knows who they are. She misses them dearly. I miss them dearly. But it was a conversation of like, you know, our family looks different now. And I just asked her questions because I just feel like we don't give kids enough credit.
Mm.
For how much that they can express their feelings, especially Nova. She's really good at expressing her feelings. And so I asked her, like, you know, how do you feel about Donna? How do you feel about mommy and Donna? How do you feel about you and Donna? Like, what does that feel like for you? And she's just like, Donna loves me. I love Donna. And I'm like, okay. But she's like, at the time, Donna was still living in Atlanta. And she was like, but Donna always leaves us. And I was like, you know, good point. Donna does always leave us. And so we then have a conversation like, you know, she doesn't live here, but like we're going to figure it out because I also am not, it's not feeling great for her to have to leave all the time, even though our schedules were really flexible. Mm-hmm. And so Donna was able to make it work and her job was able to transfer her here where we are. And it's been amazing ever since now that she doesn't have to leave us anymore.
Yeah, she's there with you. I never thought about, you just made me think about something that I've actually never thought about in depth. The fact that when you do blend families, right? And you bring that new person into your child's life or the new people in your case into your child's life. And then that family breaks up or you break up with that person and the family breaks up, the child is experiencing a breakup as well. I never thought about this, but I know that that's like why we take lots of special care in how we bring new people around our kids.
Yeah. Even my older kids, like we've had conversations recently about like things that happened, like I said, 3-4 years ago at this point, but now they're older and those feelings are still there. They're like, okay, they call me Mom Mia. They're like, Mom Mia, like what happened? How do we like get back to where we are now? Cause now they're, well, preteen, but I had this conversation with a teenager and I was like, listen, we can make this look however works best for you, whatever you feel like you need or want. Our teenager is closer to me than our preteen is. And so it's a little bit easier for me to have access to them than it is with the preteen because they're living in two separate places right now. But I have just really, when they called, I just was like almost broke down because they're like, you know, I know that we text and we call and we check in and I catch you up, but it just like still feels very different than like when we were all together. And I want to know, like, is it okay if like you're still my mom? And I'm like, absolutely. Like, aww. I would love that. But I didn't want to like make them uncomfortable because again, they had to process their family breaking up as well. So it was just, has been a long process, but I'm grateful for where we are today.
Oh, that's good. That's some perspective too. Was this also a queer relationship?
Yes, this was also a queer relationship. They also have a dad as well. So it was already like a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And so I just wanted to make sure that I was like being respectful of like, you know, sometimes you don't want another parent. I'm like, I'll be whatever you want me to be.
Right. Wow. Yeah. There's a lot to think about when it comes to these modern families of ours, right?
Yeah.
But they're beautiful. They're freaking beautiful.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love. Hey, listeners of the Queer Family Podcast. My name is J.P. Darbagosian. After you're done enjoying this episode of the Queer Family Podcast, I'd love for you to check out the podcast I host, This Queer Book, Save My Life. We're the show where guests from across the rainbow join us to talk about the queer books that save their lives. These are the stories that help them overcome alienation or gender dysphoria or homophobia in their family or internalized shame or being outed. And why have this show? Well, because of all of the book bans and don't say gay bills, I think it is important to share our queer stories and to say gay over and over and over again. I believe that through these life-giving stories, we're connecting to this exciting and messy and sometimes scary, but also loving queer world of ours. Plus, we bring in the book's authors to join the conversations. We've had on Carmen Maria Machado, Alison Bechdel, Michelle T, Becky Albertalli, and so many more. You can find This Queer Book, Save My Life, on your favorite podcast app.
Love is love.
I should have asked this before. I'd never asked. How do you identify? Do you identify as a lesbian? As
I identify as pansexual, uh-huh. even though like I can never see myself in a non-lesbian relationship. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like, okay, initially I started this because like with how Nova was conceived, like people had questions. I'm like, rightfully so. I don't know. I know that I don't want to ever be in a relationship with a cisgender man. Right. I know that for right. like 100% facts.
Right.
But anything else? Meh,
yeah.
I'm open.
Yeah. So you are. You're pansexual. It's, yeah, yes. That makes sense. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty of like day to day life, you prefer
yes.
the company of lesbian. A woman. Of
yeah.
A, yeah. Yeah. All right. I feel you. I get yeah, it. I totally it. Get that. Okay. So we bring Donna into the fold. Donna comes and stays. And when did talk of baby making for number two come to the table?
Pretty quickly, actually, yeah. because I knew that Donna really wanted to have another baby. And so did I. I've always wanted to have like a bunch of kids. now I'm like, maybe two. But I always knew that I wanted to have a bunch of kids. So we had the conversation pretty quickly because I was like, neither of us really have time to be playing around. And if you don't want kids and I don't want kids or and I do want kids, then we can just continue being friends how we've always been. So right. it doesn't need to be that. But one of the big things that I knew that she wanted was to have another baby. And so mm-hmm. we had the conversation pretty quickly about what timing would look like, what finances would look like just what with us already blending, how much time we needed to give our like threesome before we tried to expand to make sure everyone was feeling good in their mm-hmm. places in the family. And then we knew we had to talk to Nova about it, but she was like, I want a sibling now.
Right.
She wanted a little brother.
Oh.
As of right now, does not have that. So we had the conversation and then we had to have the conversation on like, okay, who's going to carry? And I was mm-hmm. like, I really don't want to. I really, really don't want to.
You've done it once. Like, you already
I will
did
do
it.
It. Yes. I was like, I will do it. Like if for medical reasons, like I have to, or if it's a better choice, or we think it might go smoother, cheaper, mm-hmm. quicker, whatever. But that actually didn't end up being the case. We did all the like testing and things and she was just in a lot better position to carry than I was. And then she also wanted to carry because she's older, a little bit older than I am. But and so she was like, okay, if I don't do it now, I don't know that I want to do it later on. So I was like, even better. Have at it.
So she didn't have an aversion to carrying. You know, sometimes.
No, she didn't have an aversion to
carrying.
That's
good. Because sometimes in our relationships, one of us has an aversion to carrying, you know? And then.
Yeah.
So the two uteruses.
I was the one with the aversion to carrying.
Right. True. Yeah. And you already did it once. So that worked out well. Okay. And then what happened?
So we had the conversation and then we had a timeline that we wanted to work with them. We were like, okay. The next fall, we will start looking and start tracking and doing all the things. We actually started a little bit early here because we found a doctor that just had some time mm-hmm. and space in the calendar, one that like really felt like she fit us,
uh-huh.
Which that wasn't the case with everyone that we spoke to. So we were like, okay, well, we really like Dr. Sue, so let's just go this route. It feels good. And things had calmed down for me a little bit ex-hood-wise. Well, what I thought had calmed down for me ex-hood-wise at that time.
You're very busy. We're going to get into ex-hood because you are very busy, Mia. Like,
yeah.
doing all the good things, but you're very busy. Yeah.
And so we also wanted to give ourselves like a little, like what we thought we would have a little bit of cushion because we're like, oh, we're probably going to try. It's going to take like 6 months,
yeah.
like a year,
right.
maybe a year and a half before anything happens.
Oh.
No, it did not take that at all.
I guess you chose the right uterus.
Yes, we had like, I felt like we had backward problems. Like we had too many mature follicles and too many eggs that were ready. And then we had to wait for a time where she didn't have like 5 or 6 eggs that were like ready to go. It was, I'm like, we're not having 5 kids. I don't even want the possibility.
Let's take it back a notch because I want to know, what did you do about sperm? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about a known donor because you did ask Nova's dad.
We really, really wanted a known donor, but we just weren't able to find one. And what felt like a good financial ability for us, like we knew that we were going to go through a fertility clinic. So it's like, okay, now we have to go sort of like a directed donor route if we do want a known donor. And finding someone that was willing to like make the commitment to go through all those steps. And then financially, honestly, it ends up being so much more expensive to use a known or directed donor when you're going through a clinic. I think if you're doing like at-home insemination,
right,
it's a lot easier to do that. But we knew that that's not what we wanted to do. We just wanted everything to be monitored by a doctor. So if something did go wrong, we can make like easier pivots and have that like additional medical support.
You get the science, yeah, right?
Get the science. We're like, okay, we really want to get this down. And I mean, it did work out for us, but we ended up going through a bank. But our one quality that we, as someone that was going to be okay with being ID'd, we're like, okay, if we can't get a known donor, the very next best thing for us is to go with someone that's okay with being ID'd.
Yes.
So that automatically filtered. I know things have changed. I feel like even now, more recently with those laws, and there's a lot more available now. But at the time it was like that dwindled our number like
way down
significantly.
But also there's like such a huge shortage of Black donors as well. I don't know if you chose, we're looking for a Black donor, but.
We were definitely looking for a Black donor. And that was also something that we were willing to wait on if it wasn't available. But it just so happened like there were like exactly 3 Black donors at the time. 2 of them fit genetically like with Donna, so that we could have like as health a possibility of a healthy baby as we could. And then one of them was okay with being ID'd. So it just
boom,
worked
boom,
out.
Boom.
Yes.
Decision made. I gotta say though, and this speaks to this whole like shortage of Black donors and you know, like privilege that goes with being thought of as the norm, the whites, right? Like, because like my donor search, we had so many to freaking choose from. So it's like such a different, weird decision-making process. It turns for me into what I lovingly call on this show, the search for Superman, because you get crazy because you have so many to choose from. And then your situation is the exact opposite.
Not.
Right. So I just want to illustrate that. I want to point it out because there's discrepancies there. And, you know, we got to even the playing field.
There definitely are. And we've worked with California Cryobank to try and figure out, like, how we get them over the hump with, like, finding Black donors, with understanding how it impacts our families. And so we're grateful for them as partners. Because now I can even say, like, there are more than 3 now.
Yeah.
If we were to go to search, there are more than 3.
They're trying.
We're grateful for that.
They are.
And, yeah, you know, they're definitely trying.
There is a push in the right direction, but we're not there yet. We're not completely there yet. No.
Love is love is love is love.
Now, come on, y'all. I wouldn't leave you hanging after mentioning my very favorite sperm bank without sharing a special discount code with all of you. California Cryobank is a full-service sperm bank, and for over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQ+ clients create the family of their dreams. They are the number one sperm bank in the U.S., shipping to over 40 countries, and have one of the largest and most diverse selection of sperm donors. To learn more, visit cryobank.com. And use promo code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. I love them. Go get those babies. Go make those babies.
Queer Family Podcast.
All right. So your decision was basically made for you.
Made for us. Yep. And we ended up with a wonderful Nigerian donor.
Beautiful.
Who was like, he also looked very, like our baby pictures, my baby picture and his baby picture, extraordinarily similar.
Perfect.
I was like same skin tone, eye shape, things like that. And that's something that we wore. It just, like I said, chosen for us, but also felt like was really chosen for us. Like this was the person we were supposed to go with in the first place.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. You did IVF.
We did IUI.
Oh, you actually did IUI.
Yeah, we did IUI. Actually, we were all prepared to go IVF. And then, like I said, when we started getting her results in, the doctor was like,
she was like,
doctor, she was like, I think it might be okay. Like, I think the reason, because, you know, they ask you, like, have you ever had a pregnancy scare? Mm-hmm. And my life and my partner's life are very, very different. But she's also like, I actually haven't ever had one. So we were like, okay, maybe that means something, but it ended up meaning, she was like, the doctor's like, it's probably just you spend a lot more time with women than men, and that's why you've never had a scare. Not that anything was actually wrong with you or that we would need to work through with you.
Yeah, atta girl. So she's like producing the eggs, it's all happening, and then you got pregnant rather quickly.
Yeah, we got pregnant, like literally our first like actual insemination that we were able to do, because like I said, we had to wait a few cycles with trying to like get the number of eggs and follicles and all that stuff correct, and like figuring out drugs, no drugs, like what was best. We ended up going, I think, a smaller dose of Clomid, and then we still had two eggs at that time, and I was like, twins, maybe not terrible, but like if any splitting or anything crazy happens, because I've looked at crazy things happen, I'll be upset. But it worked out.
Okay, so then you got pregnant and it was quicker than you expected. So what was that like?
That was crazy. Of course, we did all the things that lesbians do. We tested way too early and went through all those feelings, and then continued to test and not wait our 2 weeks like we're supposed to. And then when we did get our first like big positive, I was like, shit, we're gonna have a baby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we went back to the doctor and she checked and she was like, y'all are going to have a baby. And then I was like, looking at our timeline, I had just gotten into an accelerator program for Exhood, and I was going to be traveling back and forth to Atlanta every week for January to April. And at this time, I think it was October.
Uh-huh.
I think it was October that we found out. And that's also when I found out about the program. And I was like, only things like this only happen to
this
me.
This is how it always goes. It pours. It never rains. It pours. So all the good things come in your way.
All the good things. And then I was like, okay, we had to have the conversation. I'm like, are you still okay with me doing this program? Like, because it's pretty much going to be you, our new baby, and Nova for a while. And she's like, no, like, go do it. This is like once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, go learn all that you can learn. And so, like, while a lot of other people in my cohort were there, like, they stayed in Atlanta from January to April, or maybe went home on the weekends, I was like, y'all, I'm coming every other week. Like, even though she said it was fine if I went every week, I was like, no, I'm going every other week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay home for those days in between. At most, even the weeks I'm gone, I'm only going to be gone, like, Monday, and I'll come back Thursday. Like, I'm not staying the whole week because we're not, like, I just worked it out. Even when I got into the program, I was like, y'all, I'm not going to be a deadbeat mom. Okay.
Right.
So I need to be able to make this schedule work.
This is illustrates so well what I always say. Like, first of all, we queer parents are so intentional. And when it comes to division of labor in the house, when it comes to division of parental responsibilities, we do our best, many of us, most of us, to maintain like a really equal balance so that nobody goes insane, right?
Yeah. There are absolutely things that, like, I don't want to do, that she doesn't want to do, that I'm terrible at doing, and she doesn't want me to do anyways.
Like, laundry. Mine is, I'm not allowed to do laundry. Like, I'm not allowed because I'm so bad.
Washing dishes. She doesn't want them to stack up. I would wait until they stacked up before I, like, feel forced to do them. And then trash, I'm forgetful. So, like, if you're counting on me to put the trash out the night before trash day, I'm not going to remember that it's trash day until they're picking up the trash and I'm watching them
running out.
Out of the window, and then I'm trying to catch them. Yeah. So she takes care of those things, like anything that has to happen, like, on the schedule. But people are also, like, they've been asking, like, how we have, like, managed with the baby and she's breastfeeding. And mm-hmm. I'm like, we still take shifts at night because it works. Yes. Like yes. She's not a morning person. So like, but she also likes to, and probably because she likes to stay up late. Mm-hmm. So I'll do like 12 to 4 and then she'll do 4 to 8 mm-hmm. and then she'll be asleep. And then I get up at 8 anyway. So I'm like, okay, we split it. And then I get everybody ready.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about.
It just works.
Yeah, because like we break the mold. Like we already broke the mold when we made our family, right? So we get to decide mm-hmm. who does what. We don't have this crazy, weird societal norm in our psyche.
Of like about, we're supposed to be
it's so
primary thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw there was this TikTok video. I was scrolling TikTok as you do late at night, you know. And there was this one that said nights with a newborn, right? And it was just mm-hmm. she had just like filmed the entire night like in fast motion of the amount of times you get up with a newborn and then feed and then put the baby back down. Did the husband move a finger the 5 times this woman got up and was yawning and like doing all, at one point he rolled over and like tapped her.
Hey, your baby is
I love highlighting the equality we show in the household because there's something special to it. And then it also illustrates the fact that I say that queer families are better than everyone else. So
we just are. And I think, like I said, I also think it has to do something with like, just making sure you have the right person, like for anyone, queer, straight, whatever, that like is willing to work with you and be flexible while y'all are figuring it out. Because like I said, I haven't always been with someone that's like my biggest cheerleader that was willing to like, you know, balance things in the way that I'm currently able to balance things or work harmoniously with me. So I'm grateful for that.
Uh-huh. I love it. That's a good point too. You do have to pick the right person.
Yeah.
And listen, disclaimer to everybody listening. I don't think all straight families don't do it like us. I just want to put that disclaimer out there. I just like to make the joke that we're better.
Possibly.
There are some great, you know, straight daddies out there really doing their fair share. So, you know, mm-hmm. good job, guys.
So if anyone wants to co-parent with us, let us know.
Yeah.
Told you, the more love, the better.
Uh-huh. Okay? I know. I agree. So I do have one question before we get into exhood and like the amazing work you're doing. Because I was thinking about it as you were talking. So you have, and if you don't have an answer for this, like if I wouldn't have an answer for this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You have one daughter who has a dad in the picture. And then mm-hmm. now your new baby is donor mm-hmm. conceived. So mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to talk to your daughter about donor conception and all the things. And because the baby's going to grow up seeing Nova's dad here and there, have you thought mm-hmm. about what that's going to look like and what the conversation is going to be around that whole thing?
Yeah, we plan on making her feel extra, extra special.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, you know, Nova, all things considered, was not planned for. Mm-hmm. So we are just going to plan to let her know that, like, you know, we chose and planned for you because we wanted that. Mm. And then just make sure Nova doesn't feel any type of way about that. But it's honest it's and true. You get an extra parent, okay? So, mm-hmm. like, you can let your little sister have something. But no, we just plan to be intentional about letting her know that she was planned for and also just making sure that she feels surrounded by, like, all of the love that's possible. So I'm grateful for my parents. They are extremely involved. So whether that's like you get a grandparents weekend on the times that Nova is gone, and she's really, honestly, she's not gone that much.
Right.
So I don't think that it will feel too that terrible. Much. Maybe it will change. Maybe we will grow mm-hmm. in our co-parenting relationship and it will change. I welcome that as well.
Yeah.
But right now it doesn't feel like it'll be too much of a struggle of having to explain. Like I said, we plan to be intentional of letting her know that like these are the differences between like how you arrived and how Nova arrived mm-hmm. and then making sure that we try to fill in those gaps with special time, whether it's with us or with grandparents or with aunts and uncles. She also, Noir also has like really involved godparents, and I mean Nova does as well, but so they both have their like they are going to have their special time, and that's how we plan to
have
just
your fan
fill
your
in community. All the uh-huh. holes.
But I love that answer. That's beautiful. And I was just thinking, like, you know, they have all kinds of children's books about donor conception, and they have all kinds of books, but they don't have enough, you know, they don't have enough because they don't have a book that explains a family like yours. I don't think there is. Unless somebody knows at home, reach out and let us know.
I haven't seen one, but we will definitely take it.
Yeah. You know, and I still haven't found one that has two kids that aren't twins who were born from the same sperm donor. Anybody know of one out there? Because I'm trying to find one. But also, somebody write those books, please.
Yeah.
Me and Mia are tapped out. I think we're too busy. And also, I don't know how to write a children's book. But please, somebody write those books because we need those. We need to be covered. We need to be covering all the bases with all the many beautiful forms our families come in, right?
And our kids actually do read them. Like, I feel like people don't know that. Like, Nova brought home a book. I think it's called Ritu Weds Chandi. And it's two, I'm presuming, Indian women that were girlfriends. And the book talks about like how some of the family is very upset that the girlfriends are getting married, but that the little girl, who I think is their niece, is just really excited and wants everybody to just show up for their day. And so like that, while that is not Nova's story, like Nova reads it. And so like, I want other people to know, like, write all the queer books. Like our write kids them love them. Like I can imagine how she felt in the library at school, like just being able to pick up a two mom book, even though the family didn't look like anything like ours.
Preaching to the choir, but representation matters so much, especially for our children, right? So somebody write those books, please. This is a great segue then when we're talking about representation, and let's get into X-Hood and all the fabulous things that you are doing in the name of representation and all the things. So tell us.
All the things. Trying to boil the ocean. Why not? As a reminder, everyone, X-Hood, we provide fertility and family building support to the Black queer community. We started just like literally as a community group that got together and hung out with our families back in 2019. And since then, we have just grown so much. We have a little over 4,000 members in our private community. But then we have like extended family all over, like people that just come to our in-person events, like people that aren't on social media at all, but they're like on our news list and get together when we send something out. So our community is much bigger than the 4,000 that actually show up in the private community. We host events year round. The biggest event that we host probably though is our Black Parent Pride Conference that typically happens somewhere in or around May or June every year. And we bounce from city to city. Most recently we did Washington, D.C. Before that we did Atlanta. I don't know where we're going to be next year, but feel free to let me know where you think we should go.
You got to come to New York. And so what can somebody expect when they go to one of your events?
Depending on the event, but like monthly, we try to hold some sort of like either get together that will be virtually or like smaller ones that are in person across our regions, because my community managers are like everywhere. But typically they revolve around like feeling some sort of support. So we have like our Beyond the Binary small group is for our transgender and gender nonconforming parents. We have groups for people that are trying to conceive. We have groups for people that are trying to adopt. We have people that groups for parents of teenagers, because that is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And so we try to like meet our parents at whatever chapter they're in and make sure that they can leave feeling empowered in whatever their next chapter is going to be. And so then our in-person events or our larger events, like our conferences, are typically a few days. We've done 2- and 3-day versions of the conference, and we always do some sort of like welcome reception. And then we host those small groups that we do virtually. We also do those in person. And even when I try to like limit how many people are in these small groups, people just love them. Like this year I tried, I was like, okay, 30 people max in small groups. We have small groups that had like 60 people. People were sitting on the floor. It was just like, y'all don't follow directions. Nobody cares. They're like, girl, we're going to this small group.
Because community, it matters. We need community.
I mean, they're literally sitting on the floor, sitting in chairs, bawling their eyes out, like crying. We have parents of like neurodivergent children. We have all the all things where we try to like bring support and bring like our experts in, because what I say with X-Hood is I want to give us the gift of community, but the community isn't always just like me as like an internet auntie. Sometimes you need a doctor or a therapist, or like we've had sexologists come in, because a lot of us are married and partnered and have been for like a very long time, and we're trying to figure this out.
Yes. Yes. So
I want, like I said, I've tried to play the long game with community and get you connected to everyone that you're going to need along this parenting journey.
That's amazing. Good job. Yeah. And so if this sounds like something you're interested at home, you need to find Mia and you need to find one of these events. You can do it virtually. So you don't have to be in the state.
Yeah, you can do it virtually. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be in the state. We're actually going to start up in the fall, like a more of a cohort style for our small group. So I want the members to be able to be together for like 4 to 6 weeks over the fall so that they can feel like a progression in their journey and have a little bit more structure to the conversations and the resources that they're receiving, which is something that's going to be a little bit different for us. Typically, they're like one-off and they're like as people kind of voice the need for it. But I'm trying to be more proactive than reactive in this coming year for X-Hood.
That's great. Good job. Good job. So where can everybody find all the places that you can find X-Hood? All the ways.
Yes. So we are at Parent X-Hood on like all of the platforms. Our website, which can also get you to all of our platforms, is www.parentxhood.com. If you look for me personally, I'm at The Big Mama Mia on all of the things. And I have also links to X-Hood on all of my platforms as well.
Yes. And it will also be in the show notes of this here episode. So check that out. Check Mia and all the amazing things Mia is doing out. And I am so honored to count you as a friend. And I'm so honored to know you. And I'm so grateful you came on to do another little interview with me.
Thank you. Thank you for catching my life update, my organization update. Thank you for making space. I'm so glad that I got to see you like in person because we hadn't had the opportunity to do that.
I know.
So I like to believe that it wasn't a matter of happenstance that we were meant to be in the same place at the same time.
I agree. And I think we need to put an event together. That's what I think.
Yes.
That's what I think we should
do. They have to stay tuned.
You better stay tuned, y'all, because something might be brewing.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Hint, hint.
Okay. This has been such a pleasure, and there's more to come. So I absolutely adore you, Mia.
Thank you for having me, Jamie.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Ah, well, folks, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to listen to another one right now. We have so many episodes to choose from, so just pick one and go, or pick the one that pops up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. Go for it. So much beautiful goodness out there. And also, listen, this might be your call to action. If you've been thinking about, oh God, she hasn't told my story. I want to tell my queer family story, or I think this story would really resonate with the audience, but you haven't gotten the courage to do it, this is your call to do so. You're just going to email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com and you're going to tell me a little bit about your story and maybe you'll come on the show. I want to hear all the stories. I want to hear from everyone because you know what? Our families are freaking beautiful. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. Our families are freaking beautiful. So thank you so much for tuning in. Continue to do so. Share it far and wide. And I'll see you next time. Thanks so much.